The Alabama Crops Report Podcast, your trusted information source for Alabama agriculture.
Hey, everybody, welcome in to the Alabama Crops Report Podcast. We're in the roaming studios today. We're actually at the Tennessee Valley Research and Extension Center in Belmina, Alabama. Got a good bit of the cotton team here. We just finished up our third scout school of the year at Belmina and thought it might be a good time to sit down and talk. So we got a room full of folks, Scott and Simmer, Ron and Eddie, and then Cade and Blake. So guys, appreciate y'all's efforts today with the scout school and your presentations and you know, conversations we have with folks. And thought maybe, Simmer, we talk a little bit about North Alabama and what the situation is across, I guess, West and East Alabama.
Yeah, since we have Cade and Eddie both together here, and we feel like it has definitely been a different year, especially for North Alabama. So it'd be a good way to get us updated and even talk about some of the crop outlook or situation going on this year.
So what, Eddie, why don't you give us a roundup? We'll go east to west.
Well, right now, it's surprising that we have some pretty good looking corn anytime you have a lot of rainfall, and we're able to plant corn earlier before all the rains in May. So right now, corn's at silking, and or at least the earlier planted corn is at silking. Right now, farmers are concerned about putting a fungicide on, so we have a lot of fungicides going out, which makes sense if you have all the rain that we're still having. As we look right now, this week looks like there's going to be some more rain. I had a farmer call me up Monday, and he's real concerned about not planting any more soybeans. He said, you know, this week we're probably not going to be able to plant soybeans because all of the rain in northeast Alabama. He happened to be in Cherokee County. And I said, well, you know, you need to do what's best for you. If you can take preventive planting, I would go ahead and do that, because it is going to start getting a little risky when we get into late June. It's a little bit harder to make a good soybean yield. And right now I would say that we have about 40% of our cotton crop planted. So, and a lot of that is late planted. And I looked at a lot of cotton, and there's a lot of drowned out spots also. So it's been a really tough year, and I think it's going to be a really unusual year also.
So what do you think, you said about fungicide applications in corn? It's not something I know a lot about. Do you think a year like this might be more likely to return on that? Or?
Well, I think it's likely to put a return on it even in most years, because I know that most plant physiologists or pathologists will say that you don't get a return from corn unless there's disease out there. But I would argue with that, because what we've seen is the standability. When you put a fungicide on, you get tremendously better standability. So when you harvest, a farmer has to get off his combine 15 or 20 times in a day, because
morning glory.
Yeah, the corn stalks are falling down. He has to clean his head out. Well, it'd be worth him putting the fungicide just not to have to do that. But I'll give one example. We were doing when I first started doing fungicide trials, I was only able to split a field with a plane. Right now, my fungicide trials are with a drone, and we're able to do some replicated trials. But the farmer said, look at this, Eddie. And he said, where we didn't put the fungicide, and he held up the stalks, they just crumbled in my hand. He said, he went over where we did put the fungicide, and he said, I can't even break this corn stalk here. So that sold him on a fungicide. So I would say, we don't have that much disease in North Alabama. We have some northern corn leaf blight and gray leaf spot, and normally that's a minor pest. And then sometimes we have southern corn rust come in late, and then that definitely would pay with the fungicide with it. But I'd say our value with a fungicide is twofold, is standability, and we also put a pyrethroid in it to knock down some of the stink bug pressure. So you're not only getting a benefit from reducing stink bugs in corn, but you're also reducing the pressure as they leave. As you get towards brown silk, they're not going into soybeans, or even the plant bugs that we have in corn are not going to cotton. So you're knocking down some of the pests that would go into your cotton or your soybeans.
Eddie, do you have any numbers on how much rain you have gotten since end of April, May 1st or something like that?
We did. We've got anywhere from 12 to 15 inches in May. And I looked at one. We got rain 20 out of 31 days in May. So it's not only that we're getting a lot of rain, we're getting a lot of rain days, which, you know, it's spaced out, which makes it hard. When I turned in my survey for days that we were able to work, in the last 2 weeks of May, I had one day in each. That was all we were able to have of field work.
That's what I was thinking.
One day in a week. A
couple of weeks ago, some of my colleagues, especially there's one economist in K-State, and he has some calculators and stuff, but every year he kind of takes some data and all that, and we're like, how many true planting days we had in the planting window. And I was just wondering about this even for some of our trials, because we couldn't get them in. I'm like, man, it would be really good here to really know out of the two and a half months we had to plant corn, cotton, peanuts, all that, how many actual real days we really have in different parts of the state.
And I think they've changed the reporting now, but the weekly crop progress report used to give, you know, days you could work in the field.
And so it still does.
It's still, even the new format they just rolled out.
Well, when I fill it out, I try to fill it out each week, they still have that. They have the last question they ask, how many days were you able to
get out in the field?
Yeah, get out there or have field work.
Yeah, so that
in the last 2 weeks of May, I could only put one day for those last, so in 14 days, we only had 2 days suitable for field work.
Yeah, so that'd be interesting to go back and look at that.
So up in your area, as far as corn goes, do most people have plenty of storage to store and dry all their corn, or do they go straight to the...
We have a tremendous amount of storage up in my area, but there's not enough to store the whole crop. We do have farmers that say we're here in Limestone County, but Henderson Farms, they have a tremendous amount of storage, and they just put in another huge bin, so they can see a value to storing corn when the prices or when the basis gets better. So we don't have enough storage to store all of our corn, but we have a tremendous amount of storage up here, at least in Northeast Alabama. It might be different in Northwest.
It depends. Depends on how close you are to an elevator. If you're, you know, the closer you are to Decatur or some of these chicken mills, and you know, it's truck corn pretty much, and you don't have bins. But if the corn that's planted in Northwest Alabama, especially the northwest part of the Tennessee Valley, materializes, and we have a average to above average crop yield, we're going to have a lot of corn on our hands come this fall. And that could be a bottleneck sitting in the line at some of these elevators. But I was just looking at some rainfall data where I've got a soybean plot over in Colbert County. They've got almost 47 inches of rain this year.
Wow. What's this year the average?
Like 55 to 60.
Yeah.
And so we're June 17th, we're at 47 inches, but at the plot here since April 1st, we've had 25 inches. And I know I loaded and unloaded my truck four times with the seed and the vacs and the generators, trying to go the next day to plant the plot, and the fifth time it worked. So I was glad we finally got it in, but it was, you know, over in June, so we probably won't have an optimal yield from that plot. But you look at it, and I gave this data to Hallie. It rained 21 out of 31 days at that plot in May.
Wow.
Very tough to get anything done. I mean, it rained 21 days that month. In April, we had 12 and a half inches of rain. I mean, 1 week it rained.
So I know our cotton got affected a lot, but were the corn corn planting also got affected significantly in North Alabama?
There's a lot of late planted corn. I see corn, everything from brown silk to knee high right now.
There's a field here. I think the corn's at like V3.
Yeah.
Well, there's a farm, a commercial field a block away from us, basically. And on one side of the road, Blake, it was just starting to silk. And the other side of the road, it was, you know,
maybe thigh high. V11.
Yeah. So it's just all over the board. And that may have been, I don't know, they changed what, maybe they were going to plant cotton and went back to corn because of prices. I don't know. Some of that may have happened.
Well, the reason I was asking about the storage, so, you know, when I was in South Georgia and we were actually scouting corn, you know, the guys that didn't have the bin space, we may not put a fungicide on all of it because, you know, putting fungicide on it, it takes longer to dry down. And I didn't know if y'all would consider that kind of recommendation. You know, we were more worried about a hurricane coming and blowing it down to, you know, having to wait on it to dry down. And I didn't know if having so much corn in the landscape this year, if you would even let that be a determining factor.
No, because our farmers, you know, when I was working with Randy Dowdy when I was down there in South Georgia, one time he held the world record for both corn and soybeans. But I noticed one thing, when Randy harvests his corn, it looked like his field corn looked like silage. It was dark green. So I have a lot of our high yield growers, they want their corn to be as healthy and as green as they can at harvest.
So yeah, you're saying you can overcome the drying costs with yield.
Well, I mean, there's also a phantom yield gain. So the higher the moisture you harvest corn at, the phantom yield gain, or what they call the phantom yield gain, is usually offsets the price of the LP gas to dry it down. So we've done some work with, say, Stanley Walters down in your area, and we have harvested at three different moistures, and it paid to harvest it at a higher moisture, even when you factor in the cost of the LP gas. Even though the corn's that black layer, it's still respiring and using energy, and that using that energy takes yield away from the corn.
I know we were talking about storage and all that. I think I learned something cool when we were at that extension specialist meeting here in Marshall County, that poultry industry is so big in North Alabama that all the grain production from Alabama or North Alabama, it can take it in just 1 week.
Yeah.
Hmm. And that's why they import everything else from the Midwest or other. Yeah. And that's why storage is even more important, because they were saying the growers who can store grain on their farms are able to get a better price if they hold on and sell when all that other traffic kind of gets out of the way, and then they're able to give it to the sell it to the poultry houses.
Yeah. Yeah. If the Mississippi River is low and they can't bring the corn down here and the mills need it, I mean, their basis is going to go up. I mean, I've heard a dollar and a half.
Someone told me,
dollar and a half per bushel.
Yeah, that's
basis if the corn supply is tight, because they're going to have that corn to run those mills to feed the chickens.
I thought that it was interesting that our grain productions.
There's enough for 1 week.
Enough for 1 week chickens. For the mills last and all that, and then we're dependent on others. So
yeah, and we're in a grain deficit state here, and it's pretty crazy to think about as many chickens as we have north of Birmingham, Alabama, and we don't have enough grain. I think even if you took the whole state and all the grain we grow, it's maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So we got 50 weeks out of the year we've got to get grain, you know, on rail or by barge. And
I think that barge we were visiting, that's where they mentioned the barge company who moved the barges and all that, Marine something. Their imports are usually 23 million tons every year.
Wow.
And their exports are about only 3 million.
I saw a cool statistic last week. I think, I guess somebody through USDA put it out, of your average basis on soybeans and corn in the United States. And a good thing for Alabama growers, we usually have the highest base, positive basis for grain in the whole United States because of our poultry industry here. So we're very thankful to have that. And there's a lot of cattle up in this part of the world too. So that's something to be proud of, that we're not having to haul our grain and get a negative, take a negative basis on it. So
yeah,
helps to have, we have, you know, got Bunge and Cargill that are crush facilities, and then we've got all these other chicken mills. So thankful for that, especially if it looks like the most corn we've probably planted here since what, 2013, 14? It's probably been about 10 years. A lot of corn out there of all stages.
Yeah. All right. Well, what about our cotton this year? So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a very short crop because I've surveyed the gins in my area, Cherokee and Blount County, and we basically planted about 40% of a crop. But not only is it 40% of a crop, that doesn't include the yield loss we're going to have by planting late. And then also how much of that crop that we have planted has drowned it out. And there's just going to be areas that maybe you're only going to be able to harvest 85 or 90% of the field. In some cases, not even that much.
So are they, where's the other 60% going in?
Well, it's either going to go into preventive planting, which nothing's going to be planted on it, or it's going to go into late soybeans.
So when would you stop planting soybeans up here?
Well, we can still make some sort of a yield up until the end of June, but you know, when you get past June the 15th, it gets dicey whether you can get a return on the yield that you could make in with late planted June soybeans. So it's, you know, a lot of people just want to have a crop on their field so they can control the weeds.
But late planted soybeans, your moisture requirement would be basically the month of August there when the pods are filling. It seemed like to me that would be real critical where you have moisture or not. As far as yield goes.
Well, it's good things that farmers can't control the rainfall then, because the late planted soybean farmers would want it, and the farmers that the cotton was opening, they wouldn't want it because of boll rot and hard block.
Well, and also some of this early planted corn may be harvested in August, so they may be needing to harvest corn when the beans need rain on them. So it's going to be a strange year all the way through.
Yeah.
Katie, you have how much cotton acreage in your part of the state?
It looked like acreage before planting was probably going to be down 30-40%. And from what the folks I've talked to, farmers and ginners, some gins are down 50-60%, some maybe a little more. Talked to one guy this morning, he said that they're probably going to have 75% of what they thought they would plant. Wow. And that's probably the best I've heard. So that's 25% that wasn't planted. So I hope that that's more of the norm than not. It's going to be interesting to see what the USDA comes out and says planted acres, next month. So it'll be interesting. It's probably going to be the lowest amount of cotton acres we've had up here in a very long time. I don't know how long, but there's on your red hills and your higher ground, you know, you've got some good stands of cotton and it's young, but you know, there's a lot of bottom ground that is went to a preventive plant or either late soybeans. And so it seems to, I mean, it's really just the most land I've ever seen left out. And that's disheartening. We needed a good spring to kind of rebound from the drought of last year. But what's there, you know, hopefully with aggressive PGR management and, you know, good IPM measures, you know, we can make the best crop we can possibly make. But I have seen some good looking cotton on some higher ground.
And I think there was a small window in late April.
Yes.
And it's the farmers that really got out and pushed it into that window. Cotton's looking pretty good up here now.
Is that can be called early plant cotton here, or is that normal?
It'd be on the early side, depending on, but I assume they're talking about around April the 20th or something like that. And Actually, with some of the red soils in Tennessee Valley, they do get warm enough to plant cotton at that time. Even though the nights may still be cold, they can actually, the soil temperature is warm enough to plant.
You know, there's a big dichotomy. You know, South Alabama in particular wants to be a little bit later to avoid boll rot. You know, we feel like around Labor Day we're going to be running into problems. Hadn't seemed to be a problem up here as much, at least that week. And so North Alabama, you're more concerned about an early frost. So they're trying to get it in earlier just to avoid that.
I was just April plant cutting, because I know when I was in South Georgia, they were like, we're not getting any cotton before May 1st or even the first week of May or so.
Traditionally, the valley up here, and Cade, you check that, but traditionally they'll plant some 20th of April on is their planting window. So they'll go about 10 days earlier than the rest of the state if conditions are right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a reference, since we got Blake, how much the weather affected yours in the central region, but how much planted acres, you think, how much percent? Or do you get, the growers were able to get all their cotton in?
So around the Selma area and east, most folks are either done or pretty close to being done. Once you get over in the Black Belt, honestly, I hate to say it, but that's just conversations that I haven't really wanted to have with some people. The ones I have talked to have replanted 2 and 3 times. And the last one I was talking to, they were on their third replant, and I'm pretty sure some of that probably got drowned out too. I did hear of some wheat that they were pretty much told, don't bring any more, it's not marketable. So, you know, they were planning on planting cotton or beans behind that wheat and hadn't even got it out of the field. I would guesstimate 60%, maybe 70% has gotten planted. Some of those bigger farmers I know were still way behind. Once they can get in the field, they can get in the field and cover ground. But it already takes long enough in the Black Belt to dry out. You know, I really hate to say it, but I don't have a good grasp of the situation over there. It's conversations that I've kind of picked and chose which ones I wanted to have it with people that I knew were kind of always happy-go-lucky. you know, that's what I told somebody the other day. I said, I called him, he might be fishing. You know, I don't need to ruin his day if he's, you know, trying not to think about it.
Similar, let me jump back just a second. I had a real unique experience I always remembered talking about planting here in Tennessee Valley. Early in my career, I was up here one time, and it was late April, and it was spitting snow, and the planters were running wide open. Now, it turned out it was a nice day the next day, so it was kind of just an initial cold front moving through. But anyway, that's something I'll never forget, to see a snowflake drifting through and the planters were running.
So what other, I guess, any considerations, any things for growers to consider where we at in the season right now for North Alabama especially?
What's that?
Any recommendations or anything how to navigate the rest of the season from an extension perspective?
I would just say do everything you can to promote earliness on your cotton, you know, control your plant bugs, be timely with your picks. Try not to use harsh herbicides if you can help it. I think anything we can do now to promote earliness, and that goes for soybeans, you know, look at if you're planting now in late June, they need to increase their seeding rate. Narrow the rows as much as possible. Of course, there's equipment limitations for them, but the narrower your rows, the better off you are planting late. And then control your insects.
Yeah, the same thing. I talked to a grower a couple of days ago. He's still planting beans, and he has a 30-inch planter, and he said, well, should I go back on my middles and plant them, you know, split my rate, put them on 15s? I said, yeah, you know, you're going to get some taller beans out of it that are, you know, more prevalent to cut. So I think there's some folks that have a, you know, a 30-inch planter that'll do that, or if they've got access to a drill on 7.5s or 10s, probably do that. Raising that seeding rate up 150,000 seeds plus per acre, I guess. Y'all can tell me if that's mm-hmm. that's kind of what we've been telling folks to do. You know, you could get away with cutting back earlier, but now probably not. And then you also wonder, you know, how much of this, you know, low spots or water is going to get part of my stand. And if you're going out there putting out 100,000 to 110,000 to begin with, then you're already backing up. So yeah, you've got a little bit of increased seeding cost, but at this point in time, we've just got to do the best we can to get a good viable stand out there. And kind of like Eddie says on the cotton, you know, pay attention to your PGR, internode growth. You know, make sure it's getting scouted and you're taking care of the insects in a timely manner. And you know, using harsh herbicides. I know a lot of folks will use, kind of like on soybeans, coming in with Reflex or Prefix, and you know, you're going to get some bronzing and some burn there. When maybe we could just use if they're Extend-Flex, use some Liberty instead. If we can clean it up with that, you know, that might be a safer method to not set those beans back. So yeah, just a wild year. Just got crops at different stages all over the place. They're just, it doesn't seem like the whole region has had together cumulatively good weeks to be able to run. You might be in Franklin County and you had a good 3 or 4 days, but down in Fayette County you didn't have any days. And it's just, where have you been? Where has the rain hit or not hit? But overall it's just been tough to string together good sets of dry days to run, but we'll see what the forecast has in store.
And real quick, I will make this point, because we talk about how much corn's in the landscape and how less cotton, and so we're thinking about, you know, we're talking about plant blows getting diluted when there's a lot of cotton. There's a lot less for deer to eat right now. A lot of fields that I have not had deer pressure in this year are already getting hammered. So I'd be on top of my deer if I've got problems.
Were we not doom and gloom enough before Blake?
I'm trying to prepare everybody for the war. I mean, you know, you better tend to what you've got, because what you got right now is probably all you've got.
Yeah.
You know.
So there will be more deer in the fields this year.
There is a potential. Like you said, you're going to have two fallow fields to, you know, two fields where they were spread out across all four.
Yeah.
Well, now they've only got two fields to eat in, so what are they going to do?
They're all going, yeah.
That's a good point.
And I'm glad Kate, I'm glad you mentioned the Fayette County area. We haven't really thought much about, but several significant farmers in that part of the state. We've talked about Northwest, Northeast, and the Black Belt, but I think what we call West Alabama has been just as bad as the rest of it. We just haven't had a lot of feedback. I know I had a call from Lamar County a week or so ago, and it was a terrible start over there too. So those several counties have got some significant farms in them. They've really struggled.
Yeah.
14, 15 inches of rain in May over there, probably worse than the plot I have in Colbert County. You go south of there, Marion, you know, down around Hamilton, really south of Red Bay, going into Hamilton, down to Vernon, Fayette, then Tuscaloosa County. They were more around that 15-inch mark in May. And there's a good bit of cotton growers down there who are very committed to the cotton game, and it's just been a rough go. And even on into Mississippi, you go into that part of the Black Belt over there, Knoxville, Lowndes County over in there, and it's the same. Same way, just a lot of water on a lot of good bottom ground. It's just been tough. You know, last year we were talking about we wish we had pivots and irrigation in every field. This year we're wishing we had it tiled and had drainage ditches pulled. But you know, each year brings a new way of trying to think how to mitigate risk, and it's just been a tough one.
The only other thing I can say to add to what's been said is just manage the crop for what it is, right? You know, this late planted stuff's not going to have the same potential as early planted stuff. And I'm not saying don't address problems. Not saying don't put anything in it, but just keep in mind with everything you do, it needs to make a return, and we can't manage 800-pound cotton like we do 1,200-pound cotton, or, you know, 80-bushel beans like 30-bushel beans. So just keep that in mind. Address problems, but manage it for what it is, because you can only push it so far.
Yeah, let me just add that we've had reports today from plant bugs moving into, not quite at threshold yet, but moving into some of the oldest cotton over in the Cherokee County area. So that's just a forerunner of what we've been suspecting is going to happen. They're going to concentrate in the oldest planted cotton initially.
Yep. All right, guys, we'll appreciate y'all taking some time this afternoon to record. And again, for your help with the Scout School that we recorded today here at Tennessee Valley. Appreciate everybody that came and all our listeners. If anybody has any way any of us at Alabama Extension can ever help in any way, please don't hesitate to reach out and let us know. And we'll be back with another episode soon.
The Alabama Crops Report is a production of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System.